spent a couple, 3 weeks, whatever, talking about Revelation, all that kind of jazz. And then last week was, man, it seems so long ago. Last week was Back to the Future Day, and Doc Brown and Marty McFly. Never mind. You guys don't even, never mind. Thank you. Thank you in the back. All my old folk in the house. And, you know, and that was good stuff. That was good. You got a plan, a hope, and a future. Now, this Saturday is Reformation Day, man. Reformation Day. Look it up on Wikipedia. No, it's you probably, we all know it as probably Halloween. So I figured it would be cool, or at least fitting, if we talk about supernatural stuff. Is that cool? Not, well, maybe not the show specifically, but yeah, we can talk about supernatural, like the show and stuff, if you want. But no, man, it's the week, right? I mean, it's Halloween, and people are all kind of twisted up about it, and some people, you know, they get their chonies up in a bunch about it, and some people don't really know what's up, and it's just like, you know, some people, it's just like a free day to get candy and all that jazz, you know, beating up little kids, filling up your pillowcase with somebody else's candy. That's jacked up. Don't do that. Jesus don't want you to do that. But I wanted to talk to you guys, if it's okay, about the supernatural world. See, because what happens is whether it's the way you grow up or just the world we live in, a lot of times we kind of really see it as fairy tale or myth, or it's always kind of one of those things that we're not super familiar with because we're so used to, like, science, right? Now, don't get me wrong. Brother loves science. I love me some science. I follow NASA on Instagram. Best pictures ever. Anyway, but no, I love science, but I don't know if you feel this way, but there's got to be more to life in this world than what you could see with your own two eyes, right? Because it's crazy. Some of us, we believe in so many things that we've never ever seen before, and when we look, we believe in the farthest, deepest stretches of space. Look, I mean, I was just reading an article about stuff that NASA finds out, and you know, and it was this whole list of possible planets that could sustain life. Y'all, has anybody ever seen that movie Interstellar? That was crazy, like mind blown. And we believe these things. I mean, they're literally, the government is spending millions and billions of dollars for satellites looking for somebody to answer, somebody to phone home. And we believe in these things. Look, we believe in atoms. Not Adam in the back. I believe in him. I believe in you, Adam Lopez. But atoms, like little tiny, I mean, even, because you guys know, an atom is made out of protons and neutrons and electrons. You cannot see an electron. Even with electrons, you can't. It's impossible to see an electron. But we believe it, right? The math makes sense. Well, not to me, but to somebody smarter than me, it makes sense. And we'll never see that stuff, especially not with our own naked eye. But all of a sudden, when it comes to spiritual things, we say, no, I gotta see it to believe it. Y'all watch out, because some of y'all might just see it. But we, no, ghost, no, the kukui, no. And the crazy thing is, too, is we selectively believe the things we want. Of course I believe in angels. I watch Seventh Heaven on Hulu all the time, right? A gardening angel, little naked baby angels that live on your grandma's, like, little cabinet. We believe in those, but demons? No. We get selective about the things we want to believe in. And look, it's all or nothing, man. I mean, it's real or it isn't. And the crazy thing is, if you read the Bible with an eye for these things, you'll find that God has a lot to say. And we're so used to living in the physical realm, you know, your beautiful, cute little face, you know, your Cheerios you eat every day in the morning, Honey Nut all the way. You know, we're so used to that, sometimes we get deaf or blind to spiritual things. And it's crazy. You know, the Bible tells us that God has put eternity, spiritual things, heaven in the heart of every man, woman, and child. So we got to understand this. Because look, man, people are spending a lot of money watching things like, they're spending a lot of money watching Paranormal Experience. They're spending a lot of money, you know, getting their subscriptions so they go, so they can see, you know, what is that? American Horror Story. You've heard that before? You know, I mean, from The Walking Dead to, let's get real. Frozen. I know what that weasel dude said. It's evil sorceress. Conceal, don't feel. That sounds demonic. My kids love Frozen. From Ancient Aliens to Teen Wolf. Right? What was it you guys were telling me about earlier? Gravity Falls? I don't even know. I don't even know what that is. So I don't even know. I don't even know. Ghost Hunters, the whole jazz, man. People will spend a lot of money. And what happens is this. Listen up. Is we end up guessing and we end up getting informed in ways that are not always accurate. Right? So what's the truth? What is it all for? What's real and what's not? What's fake and what's... I mean, come on, Charlie. What's up with that? That's old. Two pencils. But what's behind them? Anyway, what is real? Like, what does the Bible talk about? Where does the Bible draw the line? Where does God's word draw the line? Because, we laugh and stuff like that, but I've known too many people that have had strange experiences that cannot be explained with your average math equation or the physical atoms, protons, neutrons, and electrons. There's got to be more than just what we see. You know what? Let me do this. Let's just set the mood. Let's just set the tone real quick. And I'm just 2 seconds. I'm gonna call up the drama team. They got a little thing for you guys, and we're gonna kind of see what it is. But just to begin with it. And if this stuff freaks you out, and you're like, I'm gonna have nightmares tonight, then you guys can go next door to the sanctuary or something like that. You guys are dismissed. But let's take a moment and begin to see what's behind the curtain when it comes to reality as we know it. Yeah, drama team, go ahead and do this thing.
Let's say it's late at night. You decide to watch a movie. You breeze past the Disney Channel. You don't feel like a comedy movie, so you land on scary movies. What's wrong with that, right? It's not like any of it's real. This movie you're watching is about a demon-possessed girl. There's Ouija boards and curses and murders and mutilated bodies. But it's just a movie. Meanwhile, in the spiritual realm, you've welcomed in fear. Now you're afraid. Every noise scares you. You think someone's watching you. Fear is holding you down. Fear can make you not want to try anymore in school, because you're afraid you might fail. It can keep you from making friends because you're afraid you won't fit in. It can keep you from trying out for a sports team because you're afraid you can't make it. Or even worse, lose faith in God because you're afraid it won't happen. Fear isn't just in scary movies. It's trying to manipulate your entire life. Remember when you walked with your head up? When you laughed, when you dreamed? What happened? Was it the relationship gone wrong? The fights with your parents? The disappointments? That's all a normal part of life. But why can't you shake it? Is it depression? Depression hides the light from you. He only wants you to see the dark. He isolates you, tricking you into thinking no one understands and no one cares. He amplifies your pain inside till the only relief you can feel is when you have pain outside. And then he goes for the biggest lie of all. Why don't you just end it? They're better off without you. One day you know it. You're gonna just lose control. You're going to lose it. People push you too far. It's their fault. They push you. Anger isn't bad. In fact, in the Bible, it says, be angry and don't sin. But there is crossing the line into sin. And guess who's ready to push you over the line every time? Wrath. Wrath, that uncontrollable anger, those outbursts, that rage. You say to yourself, it's your mom's fault because she nags you. She's the one who made you push her. She made you punch the holes in the walls. She made you curse at her. She made you say awful things that you'd never want anyone else to hear because it's her fault. That's exactly what wrath wants you to think. Meanwhile, he plays you like a puppet. He plays you. Those girls at school who make fun of you, they deserve a fight. They deserve what you're gonna do to them. They deserve to die. It's their fault. They need to feel the pain you feel. They deserve what you're planning and what you're going to do. A person who believes the lies of wrath will move on to become an abuser and could later even do worse. So now, what do you do? What do you do with this, with these demons? Do we just live life adapting to their manipulation? If it's a spiritual realm, how do you fight spiritual beings? You're a human. You can try to be good and do it yourself, modify your behavior, see a therapist, take medication. That's all good. But that's all physical. And these beings are spiritual. One thing you must know is this. If you are born again, then you are owned by God. And these demons do not own you anymore. Secondly, you must fight. Prayer and Bible verses are the sharpest weapons in the spiritual realm. Thirdly, there is a name that the underworld cringes at, a name that moves heaven and crushes hell, a name that protects you, a name that puts Satan in his place and demons on the run, a name that every knee will bow to, and the name, it is not one that you should think in your mind. It is not one to be whispered. It is one to be declared on earth with all authority given to us. That name is Jesus.
Let's give it for the drama team. Good job, guys. Right. So what's the deal, right? What's the deal? I mean, where do you draw the line between truth and reality and, you know, just another person's opinions, ideas? You know, we show that not to say that every time a person is depressed, it's a demon. It's not every time you're scared, it's some type of, you know, long-haired, burnt up face looking thing over your shoulder. It's not even a matter of every time you get angry, Satan's knocking at your door. But one thing we have to realize is that I don't know how much you know about the world. I don't know how much you read the newspapers. I don't know how deeply you've been hurt. But not everything in this world is natural. Some things are so wicked. They're so evil. Some things are so terrible. Some things are so sneaky and crafty. Some things are so slippery that it's got to have a bigger cause behind it. You know, I was just talking with somebody right before service, and you know, the past 100 years have been the most deadly years in all of history. Never before in history have more people been killed, murdered, destroyed by war and different types of evil, terrible things in the past 100 years. And this isn't just because people are selfish and wicked. Because we can all be, you know, we can all be jerks, right? But it's got to be something bigger than that. There's got to be something more at play, something that we're not always able to put our finger on. I mean, even from matters of abuse and divorce, look, man, there is an enemy out there that despises and hates us. And sometimes we can just get played like a violin. But if we're wise enough, then we know how to deal with it, what to let into our life, and what to keep out of our lives. There's this verse in Colossians. I want to read it to you. And it says here in Colossians, it describes what the spiritual world is like. It says now, the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians 1:11, it says, "Now we pray that you'll be strengthened with God's glorious power, so you'll have all the endurance, all the patience that you need, that you'd be filled with joy." I mean, this is the kind of life that we need to be living, a life with patience, endurance, strength, joy. Always thanking the Father. Why? Because he has enabled, he's given us the power to share in the inheritance that belongs to who? His people. The people that live in the light. He's rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, and he's transferred us into a kingdom of his dear Son. He who purchased us, purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. A couple verses down, it says in verse 21, it says, "Now this includes you, you, me and you, who were once far away from God." We used to be far away. It says this, it says, "You were God's enemies." That's heavy. "Separated from him by our evil thoughts and actions. But now he's reconciled. He's brought us close to himself through how? The death of Christ in his physical body. The cross, the empty grave. And as a result, he brought us into his presence. We're holy and blameless. If you're living and you believe, you ask the Lord in your heart, if you're a child of God, you are holy and blameless. You're clean, you're not jacked up, you are like Adam and Eve were. It says you stand before him, God, without one single fault. But you must continue to believe in his truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance that you received when you heard about the good news. See, these verses, they paint a picture of what the world looks like beyond the physical. And he describes two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And that's where we live. You and every person on this planet, every person that has ever lived, has been a part. They've been a citizen. They've been joined into one of these two kingdoms. Everyone falls into one of these two places. I mean, it makes sense when you put it that way, I guess. When you say a citizen, right? I mean, everybody belongs somewhere. Everybody lives. There's nobody that kind of lives nowhere. Everybody lives somewhere. You're a citizen of some place. You're a citizen of America, you're a Mexican citizen, you're a Canadian citizen. You belong to some country, somewhere, somehow. Unless you're like that weird one person that's like stuck in an airport for no reason. But that's kind of not really what we're talking about here. There are no airports in heaven. Everybody belongs to somebody. Everybody belongs to one kingdom. And there are these two kingdoms. Yeah, in Colossians, it talks about it. It talks about the kingdom of light that God rules and reigns over and the kingdom of darkness that is a part of this world. And I love what it says in Colossians 1:13. It says, "We were rescued from the kingdom of darkness. We transferred our citizenship from the world over to the kingdom of light, God's kingdom." It says this. It says in Ephesians, I want to read this to you. It says, "We were once dead because of our disobedience and our many sins. We used to live in sin like the rest of the world, obeying the devil." That's crazy to think that. It describes him as the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He's the Lord of the dead. That'd make a good movie right there. It's the Bible. Maybe your Bible says he's the prince of the power of air. It belongs to him. He is a spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. We used to live that way. We're following our passions and desires, the inclinations of the way our flesh are, the sinful nature wants to be. By our nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Everybody lives in one kingdom. This is kind of crazy to think about it. If you don't belong to Jesus, you belong to Satan. And it says that the dead belong to the devil. Pastor Rich, this is getting kind of weird. I know, right? I mean, think about it. This is why it's not about how good you are. It's not about how good or nice or kind or polite. It's not about how many old people you help across the street. Because the Bible doesn't differentiate these kingdoms by those who are nice. And then if you're really, really nice, then you're really up there in the kingdom. No. It says that the kingdom is differentiated. You're a citizen of either or based on whether you are alive or you are dead. Not physically. Because everybody in this room, ain't no dead people in this room right now. Okay. But it has to do with the condition of your heart. If you live apart from Jesus Christ, you are dead. I don't care how nice you are. You're just a really nice dead person. Right? One of the things, I don't mean to be gruesome, but one of the things that do at funerals is especially if one of our loved ones passes, they put makeup on them. They put them in nice clothes and they make them try to look like they were then when they were alive. They make them up to look pleasant, but the body is still dead. And many of us, many of your friends, your school is like that. It's like a painted dead person trying to look alive, but on the inside, underneath the fake mask, they're dead, and they belong to Satan. See, that changes the way you are scared to talk about Jesus to your friends, because I don't care how much you love them or like them. If they refuse to obey God, if they've turned their back or they've never given their heart to the Lord, we're all God's creatures, but only some people are the sons and daughters of God. Jesus walks up to people and says, you are the son. You're the children of your father, the devil. That's jacked up. The dead belong to the devil, and the living belong to Jesus. He says this. He says, we were dead because of your disobedience to many sins. You used to live in sin like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. And I love it because this is not dark or scary. Because if you have Jesus Christ on the inside of your life, then you used to be dead. You are alive. You used to be a slave to sin. You used to be a citizen of this world. And now you've become a citizen of heaven. You have the rights and the authorities given by God himself. You see, there are only two kingdoms to call home. And every citizen is subject to their king. If there's only two kingdoms, then that means there's only two kings. So depending on where you live, depends on who you listen to. Right? Look. I don't care what the president of Mexico says. Because what he says doesn't matter to me. If they pass a law that you can only eat tacos on Tuesday in Mexico, that's right, I'm going to get my taco on every night. Every night. And the Mexican police can't do nothing about it. Because I don't care if there's only Taco Tuesday in Mexico. In my life, in America, every day is Taco Tuesday. Can a brother get an amen? Thank you. Because I'm a citizen of America. I don't pay taxes to Mexico. I don't got to answer to their laws because I am not a citizen of Mexico. I'm not a citizen of Zimbabwe. I'm not a citizen of China. I can have all the kids I want because in China you can only have one. Right. They'll take your kids away. Send you in jail if you have more than one kid. That's crazy. And that's the laws of China. If I was a citizen of China, one kid. But I'm American. All the kids I want. I'll adopt all the kids I want. Right? Because I could do that. It's legal. There's no way I can have repercussions there. See, I'm subject to the law of my, I'm subject to the laws of the president and the Supreme Court and all the, I'm subject to American law, not any other nation's law. Why? Because I'm a citizen. So you have to realize that depending on who you serve, depending on whether you live for the world or underneath God's reign, depends on who owns you, who dictates the way your life goes, who determines your future. Look, you may think you're in charge, but the truth of the matter is everybody is subject to somebody. Everybody has a rule and a law they have to live by. And everybody has the protection offered by their king. The better your king, the better your protection. The better your king, the better the way you live. The better your king, the better the benefits offered to you. God bless America, greatest nation in the world. Shout out to the U.S. of A. I love, proud to be an American. More than that, though, I'm proud to be a citizen of heaven because I have all of heaven's blessing. I have Jesus Christ ruling, reigning over my life. What he says goes, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I love in the Bible, there's a story about a man named Job. And Satan comes up and says, God, I can't even get to Job because you put a hedge around him. There ain't no access in my life to the enemy. The kingdom of darkness has no place, no right of fear, of hate, of depression. You got the wrong house. You're knocking on the wrong door. I'm not a citizen of darkness. You have no right, no reign over my life. You don't tell me my future. The world has no word in my life. Only Jesus Christ says, I am a chosen person. I am a royal priesthood. I am more than a conqueror. His law rules in my life. The Apostle Paul, he's telling the story of how he met Jesus. And he gets knocked off his horse. He gets knocked on his feet. And he says, Lord, who are you? Jesus answers back and says, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. He says, rise, get up on your feet, because I'm appearing to you. Why? For this purpose, to make you a minister, a witness before the things that you've seen, the things that I'm going to show you. I'll deliver you to these people as well as to the Gentiles who I'm going to send you. Why? To preach the gospel. He says this, I'm here to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they can have forgiveness and inheritance. When I turn my back on God, I've got the best of this world, and it's not very good. But when I turn my back to the world, I've got the best of heaven, which is mind-numbingly amazing. I remember what it was like before I was a Christian. And I was a good kid. I'd never been drunk. I've never been high. I listened to my parents. I was an honor roll. I was a good kid. But I was one of those kids. But I was dead on the inside. My parents split. My girlfriend was just all kinds of crazy.
Right.
I was looking for approval in all the things. I didn't have to be bad to be dead. And I'll never forget the difference between life with and without Jesus. I was dead. I needed to be rescued from being dead. I was loyal to the world, and the world gave me nothing but depression and anger. And I tell you, I could have been one of those kids that brought a gun to school. I could have been one of those kids that flipped out. I could have been that kid. The world was eating me up on the inside. Romans 6 says, don't you realize that you become a slave of whoever you choose to obey? If the best this world's got is the next dance club, if the best this world's got is a boyfriend or a girlfriend, the best this world's got is a lot of money and a college degree, I don't want none of it because it sucks. I want more. I want to be alive. I want to be free. And that's what the Bible says. You become a slave to sin. And it leads to death. I want to be a citizen of heaven. I want the best God has for me. And it all boils down to this. If you belong to heaven, are you loyal to God? You see, are you loyal to the kingdom that you claim you serve? This is the difference, you know. See, this is where it all boils down to. We have influences in our lives Whether it's the shows that we watch, they train us the way we think. Whether it's the music we listen to, the friends we get mixed up in things. We try to figure out spiritual things, but we don't know them. And the truth is, it's either dark or it's light. There is no neutral. Look, there's no Switzerland in the spiritual world. And if you don't get it, then that's okay. You will one day. But the bottom line is you need to claim citizenship of one. And then you need to show your loyalty. God's looking for your loyalty. The things you do, the things you watch, the things you participate, are they loyal to your king? Do you guys know what treason is? Treason is when you turn your back on your country. Punishable by death in America. Punishable by death. Some nations by firing squad. In some countries today. Treason is when you turn your back on your nation. It's when you try to harm, like, the government, when you turn your back on the military. You know, if you want to join the military and you're from another nation, you literally have to renounce your other nation. You renounce it. You basically say, I have no loyalties to this other nation. As I join as a citizen, as a member of the military of the United States of America, that's crazy. But we need the same mentality. I renounce darkness. I renounce anything that goes against God. Look. Because, like, where do you draw a line, right? Like Frozen. For reals, like Frozen. That chick's using magic. Right? A mutant? Okay, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right? They're inhumans. They have alien DNA. Enhanced. There's a total difference. X-Men is evolution. But then you go something like Paranormal Activity. You got ghosts and demons. You have dead, undead spirits, zombies, sometimes by magic, sometimes biological, by viruses. At what point, where do you draw the line? What's evil, right? What's evil? What shows should you watch? And what shows should you not watch? Yeah, not Jersey Shore. That's old, but don't do it. Somebody's in the back is all, Teen Moms, that's demonic. Forget Teen Wolf. Yeah, that is. Where do you draw the line? The things you watch, the things you listen to, what kingdom do they glorify? That's how you got to. That's how you draw the line. The things that I call entertainment, is it glorifying Jesus Christ? Is it glorifying His kingdom, or is it glorifying? Because some things you just got to draw the line. I mean, when you're just chopping people up, and you're like getting to the place where you're like glorifying death and serial killing, and you got people doing witchcraft and some nasty murderous satanic, you got to draw the line, man. Is that, do I have a part in that? Do I have a part in that? Does that belong in my life, or can this just slide? You've got to make choices, because it's about loyalties to the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of darkness. And some of us in this place, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself causing treason against heaven. I mean, that Ouija board, look, I know it's stupid. You could buy it. You could buy a pink Ouija board at Toys R Us right now for like $9.99. Yeah, it's kind of super creepy, like the Princess Edition Ouija board. Creepy. Yeah, right? But at what point, even if it's just a game, do you start saying, where's my loyalty lie? Am I looking for answers from Jesus Christ, or am I looking at answers from somebody, something, somewhere else? Look, 9 out of 10 times, that Charlie stuff is stupid and fake, right? But there comes a time when it boils down, when people really look for answers other places than Jesus Christ, you start to step away from being faithful to God. Ephesians 5:8 says, you used to be darkness, but now you're light. So walk as children of light. There's no fellowship. Look, but the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, righteousness, and truth. You find out what's acceptable to the Lord. You have no fellowship with the works of darkness. No fellowship. Look, every time, if you're not too sure, is it my fellowshipping? Am I enjoying? Am I sitting down? Am I having a good time with darkness? Or am I having a good time with light? You determine. You make the choice. And you've got to find that line. It says this in Philippians, last verse done. It says, you must live as a citizen of heaven. You must live as a citizen of heaven. Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the good news about Jesus Christ. When I come to you again to only hear about you, I'll know that you're either standing together with one spirit, one purpose, fighting together for the faith, the good news. Don't be intimidated by your enemies. It's a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you're going to be saved. You might go, look, we're talking about spiritual things. Because the people aren't going to be destroyed. No, Satan and his works will be destroyed. Bottom line, what are you inviting into your life? What are you inviting into your life? Are you surrounding yourself with things of darkness or things of light? Are you living a life that honors and is loyal to God? Or have you turned your back? Have you turned your back on the things of God? Do you belong to Jesus Christ? Because if you don't, you belong to Satan. I mean, ultimately, God owns it all. But for this time, in this place, you've got to realize that this world is a wicked world, and there's forces at work that are working in the authorities. Look, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about this stuff, this garbage, this junk. You don't have to, you don't have to worry about horror movies and, oh, it's going to come and get me. Or you don't have to worry about nightmares and dreams. Why? Because you have Jesus Christ. Greater is he who lives in you than he who is in this world. The truth of the matter is you don't have to worry about the kingdom of darkness. But that's if you belong to Jesus. So the question I ask is not whether you come to church. The question